Tonight, as we open up our Bibles, I encourage you, if you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll be looking at a few passages from this book that Paul had written to the Corinthian brethren to encourage them and to remind them of what they had done and to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of God, and that they were obedient to the instructions that he had given them earlier in that first letter. And so it's words of encouragement and so forth to continue to do the will of God. Our theme, as we have mentioned this week, had been the word being. I have looking at this and seeing that throughout the scriptures, as we talked about, this is the principal essence of God. And if you notice in scriptures, the verbs of being are there. They're mentioned over and over again. Am, is, are, was, were. All of those things are stated there on the pages of scriptures, and they make and mean something, and we need to pay closer attention to them. As we pay closer attention to them, we will see God's requirement for us as his people. As we have stated, that this is the principal essence of God, and we've seen the statements made in Exodus chapter 2, where God says, I am that I am, as Moses has asked, whom shall I say has sent me? And God says, I am that I am. I exist because I exist. And you even see that back in Genesis chapter 1, as in the beginning, God. No ifs, ands, buts about it. God is the one that created the heavens and the earth. And we can have confidence in the revelation of God's word, turn to it, and find out God's will for us in our lives. And as we have seen throughout in regards to the bees of 1 Peter, of what God demands of us to be, such as holy, sympathetic, hospitable, all of those things are about being as we follow and walk closely with our God. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, here is what the apostle had written to those brethren. He says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. In other words, fragrance. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. I want you to notice that. Here is that concept of being. And he says, we are a fragrance of Christ. As the apostles and the disciples are going around preaching the gospel of Christ, they are giving off that fragrance. They're giving off that aroma. And those who would listen to the gospel, obey it, then they too would become a part of that as they are walking with God. And he goes on to say, to the one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And so the title of the lesson this evening is Being the Fragrance of Christ. Being the fragrance of Christ. What is this all about? If you notice that certain aromas, they really smell good. And sometimes they will spark something in us that would cause us to be hungry. Boy, would I love to get a piece of that apple pie. Smelling the cinnamon. I don't know if you like a sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie, but when you smell the aroma, you want a part or a piece of it that you can consume. And then there is the aroma that doesn't smell good. After he got through playing a round of golf this afternoon, you wouldn't want to be around me. I didn't smell too good until I took a shower. And there are fragrances that we put on our bodies to make us smell good. And when we smell good, people want to be next to you. I want us to think about that concept then when it comes to our relationship with God. The closer we are to Him, what's going to happen is we're going to start giving off that aroma. So we must connect ourselves to God and we must walk with Him. And that's what we see throughout the scriptures. In fact, God had promised through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42 that God's Spirit was going to rest on His servant, the one that would come and die for us. And Jesus set the example for the disciples that they would walk in His footsteps. As they walk in the footsteps of Christ, following His example, then they would begin to look like Christ. They would begin to act like Christ. Yes, they would begin to smell like Christ. That's how close we are to be to God. We are to be so close and walk with Him so close that we need to give off that aroma, that fragrance. And we can only do that by learning and applying His will in our lives so that we can be what He demands of us. In Romans chapter 12, remember our passage that we have talked about from time to time in our study this week. In those verses, remember verses 1 and 2 that is written to the brethren at Rome. In those verses it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do you know if you are conformed to this world, you're going to give off a worldly fragrance. And when you look at what the world does, and you look at how the world conducts itself, it is a fragrance that is destructive. It is a fragrance that is on the path of eternal damnation. God doesn't want that for you. God wants to save you. And so the encouragement to the Christians there is do not be conformed to this world. But He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you see that? Walking with God, that means we're going to give off this fragrance that is of God. Therefore, we are being what we ought to be. We are being the essence of God's people. That's what's going on. Our God is showing us and teaching us how to live in this life. But it begins by our walking closer to Him so that we can give off this fragrance. And as we fulfill those passages, as Paul is pointing out to the Roman Christians, what's going to happen? We're going to show this transformed life. A life that is different than the world. And we're going to be giving off that fragrance that is sweet. That fragrance where people want to be around you. The reason why they want to be around you is because of your character. They can trust you and they can confide in you and knowing that you're looking out for their best interest. Because there's a lot of people that are struggling in our world. They need some guidance. And here you and I are giving off this fragrance. Have you ever smelled something that smells so good and you're trying to figure out where it is? You turn your nose to one side and you take a sniff. Oh, no, it's not over there. And you turn your nose another direction. Oh, no, that's not it. And then you get a big whiff of that good smelling. It's over there. And then what happens? Individuals start following their nose. There's cartoons that used to do that, where they'd be on their toes just twinkling along. Like that, with the nose up in the air because they smell something good. And they were headed towards that direction. That's the way you and I are to be as the people of God, giving off that kind of fragrance. Here's something else in connection to that, of what the apostle has said, and the apostles in particular. But here, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. I want you to notice Peter is basically saying the same thing that Paul is saying, but he's expressing it in a different way in reference to the B's of Peter, of what Peter writes there. Do not be conformed to the former lusts. That's the same thing as not being conformed to the world. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy. Yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's our God. If we walk with Him, we're going to give off that fragrance. Do you know what I could have also done? Is notice in that word behavior. Yeah. That's the way we conduct ourselves. That's really the concept of being there as well. So all throughout those passages, here is that concept of being, which is the essence of God's nature. And we are being what we ought to be. Let's look at several other passages to help us to see that we are to be the fragrance of Christ. And what does that involve? What kind of fragrance will we be giving off? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you see several things being mentioned. In that chapter that Paul is writing, he's continuing to let them know in connection to the relationship and what this is all about. Do you know, in verses 1 through 3, the Corinthians had to be made aware that they are, as he points out, verse 1, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written on in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Do you see that? Not written on tablets of stone, but on our hearts, impressing the mind, changing the attitude, therefore changing the thought processes, and I'll tell you something else. I want to let you young folks know, I have been so encouraged by you. You have even stimulated my thinking about several other lessons. And one of those lessons is when our attitude changes, when our mind is impressed and imprinted by God, it gives us a different perspective on life. You know, that's my next series of lessons coming from that word, perspective. I'll let you go ahead and you can preach it here. And if you happen to come down to where I am and you might want to teach a lesson like that, I'll let you do that. That's okay. But perspective. The way that we view things. And it's because of our attitude. It has changed here. Why is that? It's because we now possess the Spirit of God. We're becoming more and more like Him. Not only that, when you look at verses 4 through 6, I want you to notice something else. He says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. God is the one that makes us adequate. It changes our attitude. We go to an attitude that we can do. We can conquer sin. We can change. There are people that think that they can't change. But yes, they can. If you connect yourself to God, you can do it. God is telling us through the apostle that it can be done. God will make you adequate, just as He made these men who are going about preaching His word adequate to do it. He'll do it for us. Just got to trust him. You got to walk with him. And I mean closer. And then as you do that, you're going to give off the fragrance. Notice that confidence as he talks about. It's in Christ. Toward God. And he goes on, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So verses 4 through 6 is talking about confidence, adequacy. It's in God. And he mentions that word servant. What are we servants of? With the apostles in their preaching, they were a minister of death in letters engraved on stones, came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was. They are ministers or servants of the new covenant. And that's what happens with us because of that. And therefore, what we end up doing is we end up becoming servants. We are those things that the Lord wants us to be. Why? Because of our faith in him, our walking closer to him. That's our God. So what's going on? We are now as servants. That's what we are, servants of the new covenant. You know, because this is what the heart of Christianity is all about here. I should have put that down here. There they are. I knew there were some there, somewhere around there. We are servants of Christ, of the new covenant, this relationship that God has set forth in Christ Jesus in the death, burial, and his resurrection. And in fact, that is the foundation. And as I said earlier, that is the heart of Christianity. That's what it is. Our being like God. Turn with me to another passage. Let's go back to chapter 2. Verses 14 through 16. Notice again, and we need to, I want this to be embedded in our hearts and mind concerning this fragrance aspect. He is thanking God. He talks about that fragrance. Remember, it is a sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. That's what's going on. The sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. Notice the fragrance of Christ to God. We are being saved. Who are being saved, as he points out? An aroma from death to death, and to other an aroma from life to life. Who is adequate for these things? We are, because God made us that way. How blessed we are as the people of God. So what's going on in all of this, as we see this, we are diffusing the knowledge of Christ. It's spreading. That's the idea of diffusion. We're just spreading that. Giving off that aroma. We're giving off that aroma at work. We're giving off that aroma when we're at school. We're giving off that aroma when we are at play, enjoying the recreation, as we're traveling. We're giving off that aroma. We're diffusing the knowledge of Christ everywhere we go. People want to be next to you. Why do you act the way that you do? Why do you have such confidence? The reason why I have such confidence is because of God. Do you see what happens? I like to say this. When we do that, 90% of evangelism has been accomplished. You know what the other 10% is? Showing them what God says. That's the other 10%. And then they look at it for themselves and they make the choice. But when they see your life as you're giving off this sweet aroma of the knowledge of Christ, it gives them confidence to make the choice to serve the Lord. That's why we are to give off that aroma. We are to walk with our God. And as we walk with our God, we're going to give off that aroma. I want you to notice an example of this over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, do you remember how the disciples were over there in as they went about preaching God's word? Hold on, let me get there. Remember what they were doing, Peter and John. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was taken into custody? Peter denied him, didn't he? John ran, basically wasn't around. And there is Jesus by himself. But after the Christ is raised from the dead, after the Holy Spirit comes and descends upon them, they begin to understand what this was all about. Yeah, they still had room to grow. But what they did was they went about preaching the gospel of Christ. And I want you to notice what is stated. In the confidence that's being expressed. And there is salvation, as they said, in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And it says, now as they observed, notice, they were giving off the fragrance, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated. They're going by their standard. And untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Do you see it? It changed their perspective. It changed their attitude. And then what they are doing is they're giving off this fragrance or diffusing the knowledge of God. And these folks observed it. They saw it. They smelled it. They had been with Jesus. That's what the Lord is able to do for us, to change us. Here's something else. Over in Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, verse 24, really to 26. Here is Apollos. A very polished preacher. And he was only preaching concerning the baptism of John. I want you to notice, these are written for our example here. And it says, and he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. This is Apollos, this polished speaker. And it says, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You know what happened? Apollos became a very powerful preacher in the gospel. That Paul even mentions him in the letter that he writes to the Corinthian brethren about he and Apollos. How about that? This is Aquila and Priscilla doing this. This is not the Apostle Paul. This is not Peter. This is not John. It's Aquila and Priscilla. Those who obeyed the gospel. And here they are, pulling aside this polished, eloquent speaker and showing him the way of the Lord more accurately. That is diffusing the knowledge of God. That is the fragrance of Christ right there. An example. And the encouragement for us, if they can do it, so can we. Why? By the power of God. Because of God. That's how they can do that. That's how we can do it. God made Aquila and Priscilla adequate. Their trust, their faith, their confidence in the Christ. And those things that they had learned. And it should be an encouragement for you and me. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. To notice what's going on as we're giving off the fragrance of Christ. In verses 17 and 18, as the apostle says, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." What's going on here? What are we seeing of what the apostle is pointing out? As you and I continue to look at the glory of the Lord, as we continue to walk with the Lord, we're going to change. And therefore, we're giving off this fragrance because we are conforming to the image of Christ. We're conforming to His image. We're becoming more and more like Him. What happened with Moses? Remember what Moses wanted to do? He wanted to see the glory of the Lord. Over in Exodus chapter 34, verses 33 through 35, he wanted to see God's glory. God says, "You can't look on my face and live. And so what I'll do, you hide in the rock, cleft of the rock. And what I will do, when I pass by, I put my hand over the cleft so that you will not see me. And then when I walk past, then you'll be able to, because I will remove my hand." And what Moses was able to see is the afterglory of God. It changed Moses. Yeah, it changed him. See, conforming to the image of God. That's what happens when we walk closer to God. We're being transformed into the same image. Therefore, we're going to give off that aroma. That's what God intends for us. And these passages are here for us to be able to see that. And let our lives change. Give ourselves over to the Lord. You want to start smelling good? You want to start giving off an aroma that is attractive for the gospel of Christ? You walk closer with God. You connect yourself to Him. You be what God intends for you to be. And when you do that, you're going to give off the aroma. The more you learn, the more confidence you're going to have. Remember, we talked about that. When we fill ourselves up with the knowledge of God, we cannot help but bubble over. And we have confidence. We want to tell people about it because these are things that we know. And because we know them, we want to talk about them. That's great. That's awesome. And then you're going to give off the fragrance of Christ because you're going to be conforming to His image as you are looking at the glory of God and seeing Him for who He is as He's revealed to us in His Word. One last passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In reference to conforming to His image. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The apostle says this: "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." Yes, the apostle is talking about them as they're going around preaching the gospel of Christ. But as you and I do the same thing of learning and applying, this is what's going on. We are light shining out of the darkness. And what we're doing is we're giving off that aroma because people are seeing how we are conforming to the image of Christ. And recognizing that God is in us, these earthen vessels, God dwelling with His creation. Why? Because we've cleaned ourselves up in obedience to the gospel. That's what baptism does. It washes away sins, and we become this vessel for the Lord, who is a holy God. And He dwells in us as His people. And that's what happens. Our world is being misled it is going down the path of destruction. We're only here for a little while, and our lives vanish. Why not live it in the glory of God, and then at the end, eternal life with Him? So you think about that. That's a great deal. You and I didn't deserve this. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But our God loves us. He provided that for us. Because He wants us to be with Him. And because He wants us to be with Him, He's provided this. We have the hope of heaven. And because we have the hope of heaven, our aim is to serve Him. Because you know, as you continue to walk in the way of the world, you're going to live a life that you might say, I had a whole lot of fun. But when you die outside of Christ, you're in eternal torment. There is no changing. You're locked in for eternity. You see, which is the better deal? The better deal is the love that God has displayed. Serving Him. And in fact, God teaches us how to truly enjoy life. Yes, He does. He empowers us. Yes, He empowers us to enjoy this life. And as we enjoy this life in service to Him, and then at the end, what happens? Eternal life. That's a great deal. Yeah, that's the best deal you ever find. There's no greater, no better deal than what God is offering you tonight. And so I encourage you to turn to the Lord, conform to His image, give off that fragrance, walk with God as you are walking with Him and you're giving off that fragrance, you're conforming to His image, the joy that fills your heart, the confidence that He bestows, the adequacy He instills in you. And then when you leave this life, you'll be with Him. How awesome is that? In giving off or being the fragrance of Christ. We are being what we ought to be. We are servants of a new covenant, which is, as the Hebrew writer points out, a better covenant. Because we have a better high priest, a better mediator. Better. That's one of the key words in the book of Hebrews, better. This new covenant that God has given. We are diffusing the knowledge of God throughout. We are conforming to His image. We're being like Him. And that's the way it should be. Because that's the essence of our God, of being. And He wants us to be. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Oh God, thank You for what You have provided through Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that You'll help us to walk with You, to be what You would have us to be, that we might give off the fragrance to others, that they may see You in us, that we may lead them to You so that You may restore their lives and have the hope of heaven. We ask, Lord, that You'll use us as Your instruments. Give us the courage, give us the confidence. Make us adequate, Lord, as we need You, and knowing that Your way is the best way for us to live. May we be able to share that with others. May we be a good example in our communities, among each other, encouraging one another to walk with You as we all walk together, giving off that sweet aroma and fragrance. That fragrance that is leading us to life with You. Forgive us, Lord, when we have neglected to see that, to have those confidence, when we have stumbled and fall. Give us the strength to get up, clean ourselves up by Your blood, and continue to walk forward as You forgive us as Your children. Thank You for this hope. Thank You for this confidence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, God has made it possible for that to be done. Now, how is that? Do you know when we sinned, we were separated from a holy God? That's what sin did. It separated us. Now the wrath of God was abiding on us. But because of God's grace, you see, God's grace was the death of Christ on our behalf. And because of the death of Christ on our behalf, God doing this favor for us because of his love for us, that we could be saved. And our response is to have faith in God's salvation system or God's justification system, making us right, to have faith in that, to repent of our sins and to confess him as Lord, this commitment to follow, and then be buried with him in baptism, where we come in contact with the blood of Christ, we are forgiven, we are united, and we are saved. We're being delivered from the clutches of Satan. And as we're walking in this newness of life with God, we're giving off this fragrance of what he is able to do for you and me and others. One of the things that Paul made to the point that Paul made to Timothy over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he gives that list of things that he used to be. He used to be a blasphemer, a persecutor. But then, because of the Christ, he no longer blasphemed. No longer was a persecutor, he became a proclaimer. And Paul says that was an example. He was an example to show that if God could do that to him, he surely can do that for you. And we didn't do half the things that the apostle had done before he became a Christian. You see, he obeyed the gospel just as we all have to do. And then he became united to this holy God who has sustained him. And he's able to write these letters to the Corinthian brethren to encourage them to trust in the God that he trusts in and have the hope of heaven. So that when he wrote that letter to Timothy, that second letter, he says there's a crown of life waiting for him. He was poured out as a drink offering. No problem. Because what awaits him was far better than what he was going through. May you have that kind of mindset. May you have the confidence to put Christ on before it's everlasting too late. We're here to help. We're here to assist. That's what the gospel message is all about. That's why we preach it, so that you can take advantage of what God has provided through his grace in Christ. And so, my friend, if you have not obeyed, we're here to assist. All things are ready. We just encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that has been indicated.